Today on the DML News Podcast, Trump making an appearance today in New York. It's going to be a big one. Plus, a terror attack in Russia. Who carried it out and what has taken place since then? We've got squatter stories that are just blowing the mind. More on immigration, drag queens, lizards who are human beings or vice versa, and a personal story that I want to share with you. Get ready. It's going to be a big show, and it's all unfiltered.
Dennis Michael Lynch gives you his word, and he will never let you down. He will always fight for America.
The only one who really puts his money where his mouth is Dennis Michael Lynch.
Hello, I'm Dennis Michael Lynch, and I thank you for joining me today. I got Denny sitting across from me, and I got Ryan on the controls. Both my sons, both make me very proud of them every single day. And I must say that I am a very, very lucky man to be able to be with my sons every single day. I don't like the topics we have to discuss because it shows us each and every day how our precious country is falling into a deep, dark abyss and it needs new leadership in order to be able to save it. But boy, am I a lucky man to be able to do this every day. And I start off the show with that commentary because I'm going to begin with a personal story, something that happened to me over the weekend. And I think you'll find it interesting. And I'm going to share this story. I'm going to give more than I probably should simply because I hope it helps somebody else. Before I dive into it quickly, let me just tell you, though, dmlcbd.com/BOGO. dmlcbd.com/BOGO. Buy one, get one free. It ends on the 31st. We are having record amount of sales because people are smart and understanding that they've got to grab it. We don't have many BOGOs left in us. So please go in there. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it today because we have so much to discuss, but the BOGO sale does end on the 31st of this month. And for the product, the DML CBD Miracle Me Body Pain Relief Oil, which basically is the greatest oil of all the lands. It's the only one ever that you can get because we own it. We own the rights to it, the whole nine yards. You can't find it anywhere else. That ends tonight. We do not have enough to go past today. So whether it's the mini bottle like I just used right now for my neck or the 6.7 ounce bottle, that is ending tonight, midnight Pacific. So if you want to have the buy one, get one free and you're listening to this on Monday, you better get in there and get there and get it now.
It smells really good.
It does smell good. Yeah, right? It's funny. I was wearing it all over the weekend when I was in Key West and people were like, you know, what is that? What is that? And I started putting it on and they're like, oh my God, I love this. And there you go.
Yeah.
Speaking of Key West, so this Friday, you're going to be treated to one of the best Wine and Talks ever. You know, the Wine and Talk is something that my wife and I started, my goodness, got to be 8-9 years ago. We just started talking into a microphone and started having fun. But it has really become a show every weekend. It's a show. And it's, as of right now, when we look at our video counts, it's the most watched video that we have each week. And what Mary and I have started to do when it started to morph is it's now become less about us picking out articles and talking about it like Denny and I do for the show. We actually film what we're doing during the week and then we talk about it and it is a ton of fun. So we're like, hey, maybe we should start doing some production on this. So we went to Key West and we invited a few friends to kind of test it out. And we basically filmed everything we did in Key West this weekend. And it was simply remarkable. It is going to be hysterical. You do not want to miss Friday's Wine and Talk. So make sure of that. But while I was in Key West on Saturday morning, pretty early, about 8:30 in the morning, my phone rang. And like, wow, who's this? Immediately you think, is it something wrong with the kids? So I looked down the phone. It was my mother. Now, my mother doesn't call me too often unless there's a problem, right? If she has something to say, she's going to send me an email. And so I knew right away something was wrong. And she had told me on the phone that basically my father was dying, that he was on life support. He had gone in for an operation on something, and then the operation went awry, and he was in bad shape anyway. He never really treated his body very well, did an incredible amount of drinking, ate poorly all the time, just really did not keep himself well. And plus the PTSD from Vietnam, he's just never, ever, ever, ever lived to the abilities that God had given him, and alcohol, drugs, and bad mistakes, unfortunately, took most of his time up. And so with that being said, it was a function of, you know, we don't think there's any chance for him to make it at all. His kidneys had gone out, his lungs had gone out, his heart had gone out. And the thought was that he was even brain dead and that only the machine was keeping him alive. To go on a side note for a second, and maybe something we'll talk about a little bit more during the week, is that this happened on a Friday, and or I should say on a late Friday. And then on Saturday morning and Sunday, there's no neurologist at the VA. The VA cuts back so much that there's no neurologist there. So my father has basically been sitting in a state of, I don't know what you would call it, brainlessness, death, whatever. And only today will the neurologist go in there, and we all suspect will confirm what everybody believes, and they will probably pull the plug today, as my father does. My father has a do not resuscitate. With that said, when you hear that kind of information, it's the first time, you know, I have both my mother and my father with me. I've lost grandparents, but you know, when you lose grandparents, most of it, I was younger, and even that, your grandparent is not like your parent. And it is an unbelievable shock to the system. Although nobody has ever escaped death, it's hard to believe that anybody you love or anybody who is so connected to your life will ever leave you. And so when you get it, there's a numbness that comes over you, and it's a sense of finality. And in my particular case, it's a bit different. And I explained this to my daughter, Ashley, last night. One of these days, I'm going to go. And when it happens, my children will be devastated. But when they're given that information, I think what they're going to do is they're going to reflect on how great life was with me and how great of a family we've created. And it will be a good thing. They will celebrate what has happened and what we've been able to live through. And as a family, most of the times have been great. Some of them have been good, sometimes less than good, but we always get through it. In my particular case here, I suddenly felt cheated because I didn't have a relationship with my father. I tried multiple different times, but the alcohol that he just couldn't get past always got in the way. And I hadn't spoke to my father in 10 years. The last time my father and I were face to face, we actually got into a fight, I should say. It was almost a fist fight. He didn't stand a chance against me because of his age and my strength at the time. But I literally had to pin him against the wall. And that was the last time I seen him. And we haven't communicated since then. And so that's always a tough thing to swallow when you know that that's the last time you saw somebody. Wasn't my fault, completely always his fault. And he would probably admit to such if he ever had the chance to. But I had another buddy of mine, a very dear friend, one of my best friends, whose father died and was also not too great of a father. And he died of prostate cancer and he had dementia. And I remember my buddy calling me up and saying to me, hey, Den, my dad's pretty much, he's gone. And I said, I'm sorry about that. And he came back and said, you know what I'm sorry about? I'm sorry about the fact that he never apologized for what he did to us, meaning him and his sisters. And I'm pissed because with the dementia, he probably doesn't even remember what he did. And I remember my buddy being very, very angry about that. And I didn't want to be in that same mindset. I didn't want to be like that at all. And I'm sure many of you who are listening are familiar with the podcaster Dan Bongino. Now, I don't follow anybody online, especially on Facebook. I don't follow anybody. I don't have the time to listen to anybody else's show. I think Dan, I met Dan one time years ago. We exchanged cell phone numbers when we saw each other on a Megyn Kelly. We were both guests on Megyn Kelly, him and then me. And it was his first time. He was just getting into the business. And at the time I was probably at my height. And so he was asking me a lot of questions, picking my brain, whatever. And he gave me his phone number. And so I've had it for a while, but I don't follow him. I've listened to a show once or twice. It's not really for me. But seems to be a good guy, good American. For some crazy reason, he wound up in my Facebook feed about 5 days ago. And I'm like, why is Bongino in my feed? What's this video? I mean, obviously, Facebook wants me to see it, which is crazy. And it was a video about his mother. Dan Bongino's mother just died last week. And he had a very strained relationship with his mother. And in the video, he opened up and he said that he could not ever bring himself to say, I love you, to his mother, that his mother would say it to him on phone call conversations, but he couldn't say it back. And His mother unexpectedly died. She had taken a fall, and it happened in the middle of the night. And he was explaining how life is very real, and that he was very happy that the last time he did talk to her, not knowing she was going to die, but his wife had influenced him to say it to her, say, I love you. And he did. So he had some closure in the sense that he knew that the last words he ever said to his mother was, I love you. And I'm like, why did Facebook put this into my feed? Well, you know, Steve Jobs famously said, you can't connect the dots going forward. You can only connect the dots looking backward. And on Saturday morning, it became very clear to me why Dan Bongino's video came into my feed. And that is because now I was challenged with the, what do I do with this situation? And I kind of sat there by myself and thought it out for a while. And, you know, I've always had my faith, but in the last couple of years, especially since I started facing some illnesses a couple of years ago, my faith has become just as important to me, if not more important to me than anything else in my life. And I pray every single day. And I always ask God to show me signs that will help me be a better person. And so it occurred to me that I did not want to feel the same way my buddy did when his father died. And at the same time is, I didn't want to overlook what Dan Bongino did. And so I made a few phone calls, and my father has since been remarried to a woman I really don't have any relationship with. I barely could look at her when I see her. Not that she's done anything wrong, but basically that's just the way I feel about it. And I called her up, and she was at the VA, and she said that she hasn't been in, you know, she's staying outside the room, that my father looking at him in the bed is just too difficult for her to do. And I asked her if she would do me a favor. I said, can you go up to my father and put the phone to his ear? So she did that for me. And I told my father, and I'm praying to Lord that he heard, and I believe he heard. And I gave him forgiveness for all things he's done. And I told him I love him. So I got that done. It was good because then I called up my mother. And, you know, my mother, my brother, and myself, we've had a tough go because of the way my father acts. And I urged my mother to do the same thing. And my mother watches the show. Grandma watches the show. So I'm sure she'll be okay with me saying this. At first, she was apprehensive. And I said to her, I said, Mom, I know you're a person of faith and you have to do it. I mean, my Lord, I mean, Jesus died on the cross. And the last thing he said was, God, please, you know, Father, please forgive them for they know not what they do. So, I mean, if Jesus can forgive, how can we not, right? And on top of that, if he's, you know, when you leave in this earth, my father doesn't have the chance to say he's sorry. But we have to believe that's the way he was, that he was sorry, if he was feeling it inside. So it was brave thing for me to do, per your mother. Mommy said that to me when she heard me do it. I was very happy my mother did it. I'm sure my brother did it as well. He actually went to the hospital, and I'm sure he did the same. So it's, I share this story because, you know, being angry takes so much energy. And when you get something like that off your shoulders, it's amazing how better you feel. And so, you know, I did it mostly for my father, but I also did it for me, you know, to just forgive and forget and let it go. And, you know, that the last words he ever heard me say to him was, I love you, especially considering the last time that we spent any time together. But, you know, there's lessons learned every single day. And my lesson here to you, I hope, is that if you have somebody in your life right now who you do love, and even if they are the person who has been in the wrong, you know, do all you possibly can to at least make amends. And if you can't make amends, try at least to let that person know that you do, in fact, love them. If nothing else, it will help you. With that in mind, I want to thank, I mean, I had posted to Facebook that my father was on life support and we needed prayers, and I had over 35,000 people like the post. And my Lord, that's a lot considering that Facebook always suppresses our stuff, right? And so I really want to say thank you to all people who said a prayer and who posted messages of support. I really appreciate that big way. I also want to say here, you know, for those people who are watching on Facebook, for those people who are listening on Apple Podcasts for the last week, you know, we always cut the show short because we have topics that we have to carry on in, with the show, but we cannot post it to Facebook. We cannot post it to Apple Podcasts. We cannot post it to YouTube because they don't let us talk about the truth when it comes to things like we're going to talk today. We're going to show videos from that Russia attack, which are tough to stomach. Facebook would take that down. We're going to talk about drag queen and about a pride event and about just different things here today on the program that will be toward the back end. And when we do that, we always talk about how to join Team DML. That Team DML is a special sort of membership. You know, it's not like Fox Nation where you're just getting extra content. Team DML is really a team. We have thousands of people and we know most of the people's names and people participate. We have a live chat. And one of the people that we've had with us for quite some time is a man named James Larkey. And just to give a quick story about James Larkey, James Larkey has been following me since 2016. He's a truck driver, and he has always sent me emails, always posted to the Team DML live chat. And I started doing this thing last year where periodically I would start to interview for the show. I'd interview some of the people who are on the Team DML chat, and I interviewed James Larkey. Very interesting guy, very patriotic, nice dude. Well, last year, or maybe it was before last year. It was a couple of years ago. I'm sorry. A couple of years ago, I had bought something from Nevada, and I wanted to have it delivered prior to Thanksgiving, and I couldn't get anybody to do the delivery. And so James, who specializes in local deliveries, right, local, not national, I called him up. I said, James, I need this thing. Is there any way you can do it for me? I said, I'll pay you, of course. And he said, yeah. And he dropped everything he had. He drove from the East Coast to Nevada in 2 days, drove through the night, picked it up, then drove through the night to get to me in South Florida. And he got it to me the day before Thanksgiving. And I took him out to lunch. And the truck he was driving was a jalopy, horrible. I don't even know how we made the trip. And on top of that, he slept in the back of the truck when he does these things. And I said to him, why don't you have a nicer truck for what you do? I don't have the money. And he was explaining how it was that always something would come up. He needed new brakes. He needed a new muffler. He needed a new engine, blah, 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 blah. You know, regular life kicks in and he didn't have enough money. I said, how short are you? He says about $5,000. And I gave him a check from the DML Foundation for a $5,000 check. I mean, the guy almost started crying in front of me and he was just a fantastic dude. Well, he lost his life this week as well. He had battled lung cancer for the past 6 months. And there was a GoFundMe, and I know that Denny here posted the link to the GoFundMe, and I know that there have been people from the Team DML world that have gone in there and donated. I haven't gotten a chance yet because I've been dealing with stuff with my father. I will at some point today or tomorrow, but there is a fundraiser up to try to help pay for his funeral. He didn't want to be cremated. He wanted to be buried, but he really didn't have any money, so the family's looking to raise some money on that, right, Dennis?
Yeah, it was set up by his sister, Anna Miller. We posted a link, but if you just did a Google search, GoFundMe, Jimmy Larkey, I mean, when this was brought to our attention, I think there was only like a few hundred dollars in there. Now it's at $3,200, 5 days until the service. So yeah, you know, if I gave, I know Ryan gave, Ashley gave, you know, just he was a very good man, Team DML member, hardcore Chiefs fan. So, you know, if you guys get the chance, every dollar counts. I'm sure his family would definitely appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this. I mean, anybody who wants to go in there and do that, I appreciate it. I'll look at it tonight and I'll probably, wherever it is, I'll write the check to fill the void. But, regardless, you know, Team DML is a special place and I would ask you to please to consider joining, today, if you're going to join at all. But one more time, I just want to say thank you for everybody who reached out about my father. And I do want to give you a reminder that, you know, it's always a good thing to forgive.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean you have to forget, but always a good thing to forgive.
We got a ton of well wish comments in the live chat from Team DML, you know, just regarding Grandpa. So,
I appreciate that. I haven't been able to read them yet, but, you know, and that's why I started saying how lucky of a man I am. Sometimes let me close with this before we get into the stories here. We'll start off with Trump. You know, I've had the benefit of being smart enough to learn from my father. In this particular case, it was how not to run a family. And I mean, I do, sounds like a criticism, but I do thank him for what he did, crazily enough, because I mean, I thank him for his service to America, fighting in Vietnam and doing what he did as a U.S. Marine, and very proud of that. And I know he gave a lot of his medals or some of his medals to Ryan, because Ryan's a big, huge military buff. But with that in mind, I learned from my father what not to do when having a family. And I think that's one of the reasons why my family is as tight as it is. In fact, we were talking about it this weekend. People were telling me that they're like, they just don't know any other families like us. We vacation together. We work together. We live together. We live close to each other. We're with each other almost every single day. Dennis and Ryan are best of friends. This weekend, they went out on the boat. I mean, all this different stuff. So it's fantastic. You know what? I have to attribute some of that to my father. You know, maybe he sacrificed himself so this way I could learn and create what I think is America's best family. So, may my father rest in peace. All right. I know my father voted for Trump. There's no doubt on that. And he would have voted for him again. Trump today is in court. Now, by the time we're recording this right now, while he's probably in the courtroom, so we're not going to have what happens there unless Denny sees it at some point come up on Twitter. Dennis, you can look for that as we go. But for the most part, Donald J. Trump is in there today, and he is talking about basically, hey, why do I have to give all this money over? He doesn't have the money. Dennis, do you have any more details on that?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, he's in court today. As for that official pricing out point, it's supposed to be $454 million.
A bond, which he can't get.
Which he can't get. No one has given him a loan for it. Have you ever really heard of someone giving a $500 million loan for something that, you know, is a targeted case in quote unquote, because I know we're on the Facebook side here.
Yeah.
It's just, so he's there. And look, he has said, right, like he's a fighter. Until the election, it looks like he's almost got like the Batman approach. By day, he's going to be in all these courtrooms and fighting these legal cases.
Yeah.
By night, he'll be campaigning under as President Trump. So, like you said, right now he's in there, fighting for this case. And today is the deadline date. So I know he, maybe you even have more detail on it, because I was just following it a little bit more this morning. That he put Truth Social publicly, and that, you know, with that, he could actually get the money if the shares go into his pocket.
Without going into the nuances about the New York Stock Exchange and how that works, Truth Social, it has been approved by shareholders. So this way it's going to be able to merge. There's going to be a ticker symbol. DJT will be the ticker symbol, on the exchange. He stands to be worth an extra $3.4 billion based on his stock holdings. He has 75 million shares right now of that company. So it would be worth, at the strike price of $41, where it was on Friday, he would be worth $3.4 billion just from that stock holding alone. There's a guy named Simon Atiba. Everybody knows him. He's a black guy. He always goes, he's part of the press corps. Always goes head to head with, Miss Secretary there.
LGBTQ
plus Secretary. This is what he wrote on Twitter. With only a few hours left to post nearly $500 million bond or have his assets seized, Trump blasted New York Judge Arthur Engoron and Attorney General Letitia James over election interference in New York in several posts starting at 12:10 a.m., and continuing until 8 a.m. Trump writes, why should a crooked, highly political New York judge, Arthur Engoron, working in concert and coordination with an even more corrupt attorney general, Letitia Peekaboo James, his puppet master, and the White House, be allowed to take away and sell off very successful properties and assets that took me years to zone, build, and nurture into some of the best of their kind anywhere in the world when I have done nothing wrong? These radical left lunatics and communists asked me to pay a ridiculous and completely unheard of fine of over $450 million only because they saw a similar amount in my bank account. I had intended to use much of that hard-earned money on running for president. They don't want me to do that election interference. Next, these are rigged cases, all coordinated by the White House and DOJ for purposes of election interference. The number Engoron is set is fraudulent. Mm-hmm. It should be zero. I did nothing wrong. The DA case that I am going to do today should be dismissed. No crime. Our country is corrupt. Next, crooked polls, meaning politicians. They should be. There should be no fine. Did nothing wrong. Why should I be forced to sell my babies because a corrupt New York judge and AG set a false and ridiculous number? Take his cash so that he can't use it to defeat his political opponent, crooked Joe Biden. Election interference, all headed up by the White House. This includes Fannie and the corrupt Manhattan DA Bragg, admitted there was no crime, was mortified by what Mark Pomerantz did, and he should be. It's a witch hunt. Now, just as a reminder, we're going to play a quick video right here of Letitia James when she was running for office, and she basically admits that she is going to target politically Donald J. Trump. Ryan, play that video.
Will you sue him for us?
Oh, we're going to definitely sue him. We're going to be a real pain in the ass.
I will never be afraid to challenge this illegitimate president.
We need to focus on Donald Trump. We need to follow his money.
What is fueling my soul right now is Trump.
This illegitimate president. I look forward to going into the office of Attorney General every day, suing him, and then going home.
Look, she... How do I put it, right? I mean, has to be the most corrupt DA of all time. I don't know how she's been able to scapegoat with a video like that of all these evidential cases where she says, let's get Trump, let's get Trump. I mean, she has made that her motto. And yet there are probably, I don't know, 1.5 million other criminal cases that she should probably get around to in New York alone. But her constant targeting of him, I mean, it has opened up, you know, this is a vendetta with her, Engoron, the entire trial, vendetta with Trump, even Michael Cohen being, you know, a witness to that case, as well as the hush money case, you know, vendetta against Trump. This is all just vendetta based.
I have concerns for the longevity of this country, for the opportunities that were once here for all of us to innovate and to try to create a country like no other based on what we're seeing here. If this is allowed to happen, if Trump's properties are actually seized and then sold off, I will tell you that there's nothing in this country that I've ever seen so bad. That includes 9/11. 9/11 showed that we were falling asleep at the wheel for national security. This shows us that we have given up on Lady Justice, that we have given up on the rule of law, we've given up on being a country of value, and that we have started to become, like he said, a communist country. Now, from a legal standpoint, we're not lawyers, but I have been reading up and listening to others who are. And they said that Letitia James, there's a bunch of different things that Letitia James could do. She could just go in right now and seize all that capital of Trump's. Just seize it. Shut down his and just take his accounts. And he won't be able to touch any of that money. I mean, that's criminal that they could do it. Remember, there is no victim in this whole thing. Nobody has said we have been defrauded.
Michael Cohen put out a tweet about, you know, we got to get the $500 million to the people of New York. What people? It's not going to the people of New York.
What happened? Yeah. But even if so, what did Trump do?
What
the
did Trump
of New York?
To do it? That's what I'm saying.
Like, he did nothing.
It's so senseless that, to your point, it's like everyone's just pushing the envelope of how far can we get with all this corruption? Let's just see. And I mean, they just keep getting farther and farther.
So if they don't take his cash, if they take his, if they take his assets, which is going to be hard for her to do, and try to sell them off, it's going to be very, very hard to do. It's going to take a long time, first of all. What she could do, and what would be the most reasonable thing to do in this situation, being the situation what it is, which it shouldn't be, but if she really even had a little ounce of integrity, what she would do is she would put a lien against those properties. A lien that says, hey, Donald Trump, if you try to sell that off, we get the first $550 million, okay? That's what she should be doing instead of these radical moves that will come out of it. If she makes those radical moves, she does two things. Number one, she completely makes Trump into the greatest martyr of all time here in the United States of America. Yep. Secondly, what she's going to do is she's going to rally the troops. Anybody who didn't think they were certain about whether they were going to vote for Trump or not is now suddenly going to vote for Trump. So go ahead. You're going to do that to him because you know what? He's going to get it all back. He's going to get it back. Now, with that in mind, the other very interesting thing that would be is if she did put it up for sale, there are going to be people who are going to go in and pay for that. They're going to want that. It'd be interesting to see what the value actually was of those buildings if they did sell. I'd love to see what she tries to do, which she wouldn't be able to because it's in Florida, if she put up Mar-a-Lago.
Well, there was.
You think it's going to go for more than $18 million? Yeah,
look, there's that viral CNN clip where, what was it? A month and a half ago, they're saying like, oh, it's definitely $18 million. And then just recently, last week, you know, they're talking about maybe you could sell Mar-a-Lago for a few hundred million and to cover, you know, the bond and all the fines that he has to pay. So it's like, get your story straight at this point. You know, are you going to follow your very demented narrative, or is it just by soundbite at this point? You know,
Dennis, it's a perfect. I mean, look, Dennis used to live right there in West Palm, right? So West Palm, you just cross over the bridge, you're at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
And he can tell you, I mean, maybe the most expensive real estate in the country in just a couple of few miles is West Palm. I mean, Palm Beach is up there at the top of it. There are homes that sell for $100 million, $110 million.
I think the Publix on the island might be worth $18 million.
Exactly.
I mean, it is
the food store.
The real estate along Palm Beach County has skyrocketed the last few years alone. But Palm Beach Island, the uniqueness of the houses and the buildings there, it is, Mar-a-Lago is beyond $18 million. The furniture, I think, might be $18 million, but the property itself.
So now let me put this into perspective for a second, okay? Because where I live, the island I live on is a lot like Palm Beach.
Yes.
It's almost identical. One road goes through it. In fact, it's the same road. One road goes through it. You've got the intercoastal side, and then you've got the ocean side. All right. There are homes in my area, all right, one on the intercoastal side just sold for $20 million. The CEO of Under Armour bought it. $20 million. It is a, it's, if Trump's Mar-a-Lago is the size of my hand, the $27 million house is the size of the nail on my thumb. That's the difference. And that's just on the intercoastal side. Then on the ocean side, right now, we've got homes up for $60 million on the ocean. Now, even if they don't sell for 60, they could sell for 40, for 50. That's on the ocean side. Trump's Mar-a-Lago is both on the ocean and on the intercoastal. He's got it from both ways, and it's a massive property. That thing has got to easily be worth, just on the real estate alone, $300 million. Hands down. Then on top of that, it is a revenue generating business. So it very well could be that he would be able to sell that for close to $1 billion, and they're going to put $18 million. I mean, how they are just committing their corruption in broad daylight now. You want to know why? Because they know none of them ever get caught and convicted. They all get caught for the corruption, but they never get convicted. And with that in mind, Dennis, you know, it just doesn't happen at the high level of a Trump. We have been talking a lot lately about this new phenomenon that's now getting top headlines everywhere in terms of squatters. We've got a couple of squatter stories here because we were talking about them last week. It's getting incredibly dangerous.
Yeah.
And deadly on top of that. Dennis, the first story we have on the squatters that we want to share everybody with is a black woman out of, I'm not sure what state this is, but her house was basically taken away. We've got the video of it. You want to just give a little bit of headline on top of it, and then we'll have Ryan play the video?
Yeah, so just a little descriptor. Police arrested a 77-year-old man who refused to leave his home after someone stole it from him and his wife in a case of fraud in DeKalb County, Georgia. The man's wife said they've lived in the home for more than 20 years just to find all their belongings in the front yard. The man who moved in used fraudulent documents to take over the property. To make matters worse, the elderly homeowner was arrested for refusing to leave.
77 years old. Ryan, this is a couple of minutes long, but it's worth it because it tells the whole story. Ryan, play the video right now of this poor family, this poor black family, I should mention, only for the fact that it's going to come back to my commentary. Play the video of this.
77-year-old man is in jail for refusing to leave his home. He claims someone stole it from him. You can see the family's belongings all over the yard now, and they reached out to Clark Howard's Consumer Action Center for help. Investigative reporter Ashley Lincoln is live outside the home in DeKalb County. Ashley, this just does not make sense, but real estate attorneys say this type of theft is on the rise.
Sad to say it is, Linda. I mean, this family, they've been out here all day trying to salvage whatever they can. We're talking about more than 20 years worth of items on their lawn. They're trying to stuff it in this U-Haul truck. Now, housing advocates say this type of theft is easy because courts don't require people to show ID when modifying this type of paperwork.
This guy just come out of nowhere saying he purchased a home and just took a home.
It's a tactic real estate attorneys say they're starting to see all too often.
It's not fair.
Attorney Richard Alembic says they're called wrongful foreclosures or forged deeds. It's when thieves use forged documents to gain ownership of unaware homeowners' properties.
There's no people's court for challenging a wrongful foreclosure or forged deed. So that's the fundamental problem.
I just can't believe that this is happening.
Shami Allman says she and her 77-year-old husband were forced out of their Stone Mountain home of more than 20 years.
I don't know how to feel right now. I'm just scared.
Allman's 77-year-old husband was arrested for refusing to leave the property.
Very upsetting to see my husband in handcuffs at 77 years old and placed in the car because he didn't want to leave his home.
She says she and her husband began getting letters in the mail saying they took out a second mortgage, something she says neither of them did.
We don't have no more mortgage.
And by Tuesday, this man told him he was the owner and purchased the home from a foreclosure.
Hey, it's Ashley with Channel 2 News.
The current owner ran inside after spotting our camera and wouldn't answer any of my questions. He eventually did come out.
Can you answer our questions?
No questions. You get out.
Do you own the property?
Get out.
How did you acquire this property?
Alembic says it's not uncommon for judges to rule against homeowners even after proving a wrongful foreclosure.
It's a big problem nowadays because of the fact that e-filing is so, e-recording of deeds is so easy now that it's very easy to record forged deeds.
He says this is due to outdated state law resulting in limited abilities within the magistrate system involving dispossessory hearings.
It's designed to just make dispossessories efficient, not necessarily fair.
And the couple says they did file for bankruptcy because they thought it would protect their property. Advocates say, hey, if you're in situations like this, the best thing to do is to contact an attorney because this type of law is very difficult to navigate on your own. In the meantime, Mrs. Allman says she has nowhere to go and will have to sleep in her car tonight. Reporting live in Stone Mountain, Ashley Lincoln, Channel 2 Action News.
You know, Dennis, we hear all the time from the federal government, from the Department of Justice, from Joe Biden. We hear it all the time from politicians, Stacey Abrams being one of them, who there is right there in Georgia. Where's Stacey Abrams in this story? Where's Stacey Abrams? Because Stacey,
she's too busy filming a cameo for a Star Trek TV show pretending to be president. That's literally what she does.
That's now what she does now. Where, because, you know, when she was running, it was about how the black people are discriminated against, how the black people don't have a chance in this country, how it is that voter ID is not fair. Well, wow. How can somebody who's not smart enough to go get a voter ID be smart enough to buy a house? How did that happen? I feel horrible for these people, the African-American community, because you know what? They never get real fair representation. And when they do, like somebody like Mr. Carson, Dr. Carson, what happens? He gets demonized in the media.
Demonized. Last week, we had Ryan and I had jumped onto the multiple squatter stories. And then you just had a pretty great interview regarding like just the overall concept of land ownership.
And great interview,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, with Margaret Byfield.
On Friday.
Yeah, definitely got to watch it because it also kind of puts a little bit of a spotlight on the very complicated relationship between the private homeowner and the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
And my fear is, I mean, there's that viral video of the Venezuelan migrant, Ryan and I talked about it, you know, call basically a call to action, start taking the houses, you know, the squatter laws in these blue states and blue counties will help you out, start doing it. He already knows seven people that took over houses. This is the spark to the end of home ownership. Besides the fact that it's just become unaffordable. Imagine working your whole life. You finally get to afford that house, like we saw in that case in New York. And because some person was in there for 30 days, you know, while you weren't there, it's over. And that's in the more extreme cases. That this is going to be squatters' rights. That's like an oxymoron in a way. They should not have a right to a home that's not legally owned by them. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like it's a concept, and I ran a poll on it. It's probably the most one-sided in terms of the voting poll that we've ever ran. Should squatters have rights? No. There's no reason that they should be allowed to go sit in your home that they're not paying for, they're not paying any property taxes on, and say, yeah, this is mine because I just planted my butt here.
Let's take this story back to New York City again. Now, the woman you're talking about that we covered last week, that's been a viral video. Everybody sees this black woman getting arrested because somebody was squatting in the house that was left to her from her dead parents, and they arrested her and said the person was in there. Well, now we've got one in New York City that goes a whole nother stage higher because it involves a murder, or allegedly a murder. Dennis, tell the story of the New York City lady and what happened to her. She was going to, I think it was her mother had died or something.
Yeah, I'll give some quick details from a great Twitter account here, End Wokeness, and there's some photos so Ryan can display them too. Two teen squatters have been arrested over the death of Nadia Vitale. Nadia flew to New York to clean her late mother's apartment when she discovered that two squatters already moved in. The two squatters, Haley Tejada and Kensley Alston, allegedly beat her to death and then proceeded to stuff her body in a duffel bag. In New York, illegal squatters become the legal tenants after 30 days of living there. So, I mean, that's just a heartbreaking story. You're going in to collect your deceased mother's valuables and you find these two thugs in there, you know, taking over. And again, not legally owned by them. They weren't even renters trying to, you know, pose a problem. They were just squatting. They're literally vagrants saying, hey, no one's in here. Might as well live in there. And this has to be just another perfect encapsulation of the backwardsness of New York and the counties surrounding it.
New York is ass backwards. So too is Georgia.
Yeah, I mean.
Right? But wait, and now let's take them to Missouri. Tell the story of four people now dead in Missouri.
So before we get to Missouri, though, there's one more video that I think perfectly puts Florida in a great light when it comes to handling squatters' rights, quote unquote. It's a sheriff, and he basically is giving guidance of what you as a Floridian citizen should do if a squatter breaks into your home.
Let's play the video.
Ryan, play the video.
As to the person, we don't know which homeowner shot at him. I guess they think that they did something wrong, which they did not. If somebody's breaking in your house, you're more than welcome to shoot them in Santa Rosa County. We prefer that you do, actually. So whoever that was, you're not in trouble. Come see us. We have a gun safety class we put on every other Saturday. And if you take that, you'll shoot a lot better and hopefully you'll save the taxpayers money.
There you go, Dennis. What does he say? It's called stand your ground, right? And he says, we'd prefer. You got a squatter, you got somebody trying to break into your home, take over your home, shoot him.
I mean, that's the logical choice, right? Like, I mean,
you don't want to do that. You're not aiming for it.
But at the same time, it's your home. It's your property.
At the same point, I don't want to be chopped up into a bag and be on the cover of the Daily Mail.
Yeah, it's, you know, look, it's your personal kingdom. You know, when you have a family in your home, you know, and you know this, like your number one priority is, you know, protect your home, protect your family. So at least it makes me happy seeing that our state has some sanity in our police officers, because you juxtapose that with the New York officers arresting Adele Andalaro, the story we talked about last week, because she wanted her home back. You know, I'm glad we're not ass backwards like New York.
That being said, let's get into ass backwards. We talk every day on this program about the illegal alien situation in the country. not because we're obsessed with it, but because the country is being overridden by the illegal alien craziness that Joe Biden has allowed to shape. There's a story. We've got a couple of stories here. We're going to take you to Missouri, then we're going to take you to Michigan, then we're going to take you to the House floor. The Senate floor over the weekend. Very troubling stuff. Dennis, there was a murder in Missouri, allegedly illegal aliens?
2 years ago. But the guy who just committed it was just convicted this week. But yes, it was Mackenzie Hopkins, 24. She was found dead on January 15th of 2022. She was found by her father, and he basically found her brutally murdered in the bathtub of the home. This was in Kansas City. As for the perpetrator,
but it's making news because
the man who just was convicted is Jose E. Escalante Corchado, a 32-year-old illegal immigrant. He killed a 24-year-old woman, and he's also being charged for first-degree assault on her then four-year-old daughter Bella, who was injured in the attack, but she had survived, and he just got sentenced for 30 years.
30 years. So he's 32 years old. He's going in for 30 years. Very likely he'll wind up getting off a few years early because that's what they do to try to save money and everything else. So let's say, for instance, this guy has to spend 20 years in prison. He spends two-thirds of his sentence. So for the next 20 years, the citizens of the United States have to pay for this man twice. Number one, he killed an American citizen. Number two, we've got to pay for the amount of money that it costs us to keep him incarcerated. We've got to feed him. We've got to clothe him. We've got to provide him medical services. This makes no sense to me. That man should have gotten the death penalty. You killed an American citizen. You were here illegally. You get the death penalty. I don't know why it is that we're going to put this guy in prison for 30 years, what will really come down to 20 to 25, and we have to carry the dollar amount. Not to mention the fact this guy is going to get out when he's, let's just say, 60 years old or 55 years old. Arguably, he could have another 30 years of life. He'll have, when he gets out, he'll have more years of life, arguably, if he lives to the age where men usually croak. He will live longer than the person lived that he took the life of that poor girl. This is where our country is missing it. You know, when Bernie Madoff did the whole Ponzi scam and took down people for crazy dollar, destroyed their lives, wiped out, I mean, the amount of victims that there were in the Ponzi scheme, some of these people were rich and famous that were involved in the Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme. He had a bond, $10 million. He freaking money laundered and stole money from people into the hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, $10 million for his bond. Donald J. Trump, $450 million for his, and he did nothing wrong. He did business. I mean, this is insane. It's totally insane. Michigan. Mm. Now, this story is up front and center. They won't call the people who are illegal aliens in Michigan. They're going along with the Joe Biden newcomer. Ugh. And now on top of that, they want to pay people to take care of the newcomers. What's the story on what Michigan's doing?
Yeah, I mean, they're really taking this whole term to a new level. Michigan is offering $500 a month to actual legal citizens to house newcomers. So it's called the Newcomer Rental Subsidy Program. And it provides refugees and other newcomer population eligible households with rental assistance up to $500 per month for up to 12 months with eligibility based on immigration status and household income. As for the forms, I think this is a good indicator of the kind of newcomers that we should be expecting. The application forms are available in Spanish, Arabic, Haitian Creole, Pashto, Kinyarwanda, and Ukrainian. So, in Michigan, I guess you'll be offered a few hundred bucks to house some quote unquote newcomers.
So basically what
that term.
Yeah. Basically what they're doing is they're aiding and abetting.
Yes.
So the laws of the United States, when it comes to immigration, no longer mean anything, no longer mean a damn thing. This is insanity. Now, talking about laws, I want everybody to know that the Democrats want this to happen.
Yeah.
They want this to happen. If they tell you otherwise, they're liars, because they could have proven last night, they could have proven over the weekend that they want this illegal action to stop, but they don't. Dennis, tell what just took place in the Senate.
Actually, yeah, I even have a video of it. I'll have Ryan play it here, but it's Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee. She had introduced the bill. It's called the CLEAR Act, and simple as this: deport the illegal immigrants. And you can't even get Democrats to side with that. They all voted against the measure. So, Rye, can you play the clip real quick?
Let me tell you what my colleagues are going to vote no to when we voice vote this in a few minutes. This is a concept that has been around for a while, and it is in legislation called the CLEAR Act. What this would simply do is say that our local and state law enforcement, when they apprehend a criminal illegal alien in this country, that they can detain that individual and require ICE to, within 48 hours, come to them to deport that individual. They also would be required to reimburse that entity for for the expenses, and then they would also prohibit funds going to cities that do not comply with federal immigration law. The fact that we have Americans losing their lives, Pierce Corcoran from Tennessee, Lake and Riley,
the senator's time has expired.
Because of criminal illegal aliens.
The senator's time has expired.
Reason to vote yes.
Yeah, Dennis. See, the Democrats are at a point right now where they are showcasing their corruption and their disdain for what America is in real time. And any person that votes, still votes for a Democrat, as far as I'm concerned, is a sinner of great proportion, because that means that you are a co-conspirator in the destruction of this country. Your vote for Joe Biden, your vote for whatever Democrat, you are now a co-conspirator in the destruction of the United States of America.
Yeah, Ryan and I talked about this. If you're voting for Joe Biden, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame. Or what is it? Shame on you, then shame on me. Shame on you.
Fool me once. No, fool me once, shame on you.
Yes.
Fool me twice, shame on me.
Yeah. Well, the shame. Keep your shame, because that's a shameful vote, and you're not a friend of mine if you're voting for that guy. This is ridiculous. I mean, Senator Blackburn just said it. It is as simple as enforcing our laws. Like, and you have Democrats that literally do not want it. They rather prioritize. I mean, my gosh, you just shared the horrors of the VA with regards to your father. The prioritization. But if it was an illegal immigrant or illegal alien on the ICU bed, that the neurologist would be, he would have been there yesterday. So this is just crazy. It's making me angry, because you do have, and I'll say this, I'll slam the GOP all day long. I think a large majority of them are compromised, but you do have a few good representatives and senators in there on that side that are trying, and it must be like fighting the ocean, because you try something as something like the CLEAR Act, get them out, and you can't get anyone on the other side to vote on it. And then you got people on your own side basically kind of backstabbing the measures. It's ridiculous.
Let me phrase it this way. And then there's breaking news on Trump, by the way. Let me phrase it this way. If you are a family member of mine, or you are a friend of mine, and you vote Democrat, I no longer want you to be part of my family. I'll pray for you. And I no longer will spend any time with you as a friend. And here's why. You are hurting my children. You're hurting my children and my grandchildren. Your vote for Biden is a vote for more open borders and the possibility that those illegal aliens will hurt my family. Your vote for Joe Biden is a vote to take money out of my family's pocket and put it into Ukraine's or take money out of my pocket so I can pay three times the amount for chicken and eggs. You are creating a hardship on my family. You're putting my family's health, wealth, happiness all at risk. And I want no part of you. Stay out of my life. I wish you the best. Stay out of my life. And that's it. I'm willing to cut off anybody at this point. I hate to have politics play like that. It should have never been like that. But it used to be the argument around the kitchen table was, do you believe in unions or do you not believe in unions? Do you believe in gay marriage or you don't believe in gay marriage? That was the difference between a Democrat and a Republican.
Oh, totally. This is no longer the Romney versus Obama debate, because you know what? Obama back then, and you can find the sound bites on it, as radical as he is, had somehow reasonable, I say reasonable with like heavy emphasis here, mindsets, Chuck Schumer too, when it came to illegal immigration, and they have all flipped. Not of saying course. That they weren't lenient, they were, but you can find the sound bites that Obama says it, you should not have millions of illegal immigrants flooding into the country with no regulation in place. And now that what has happened in the last 10 years for that mindset to just be completely warped.
It's even past the illegal immigration, though. It's like what they're doing to Trump.
Yes.
There are Democrats. I mean, you read people online saying that this is a good thing. And I sit there and I say to myself, these people are so stupid and so naive that they don't understand it's setting the precedent of what can be done to every single person. So I'm serious. I want no part of them.
Yeah. It's concerning me, right? Because like I said, the GOP is so compromised. You got Ken Buck resigning, then Mike Gallagher resigning. Like, our majority is becoming slim. So I get worried that
Murkowski over in Alaska. She's now thinking about changing and leaving the GOP because we're supporting Trump. Yeah. So, look, over the weekend, it was funny. I just talked to you about how we went to this thing for the wine and talk. And one of my friends, her sister came, right? And she said to me as a joke that her sister, who was coming to spend time with us there, was voted for Biden or was going to vote for a Democrat. And I stopped in my tracks because for 2 seconds I said, all right, I'm going to get a hotel. This is over. And then she's like, I'm kidding. That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
I'm at the point that if you're a Democrat and I know you're a Democrat and you're running a business, you know, I'm not going to spend my money with you. I'm not going to spend my money with you. You know, so there you go. Now, that being said, we have a breaking news thing here, and then we're going to say goodbye because we're going to bring this over to the Team DML only. This is out of the New York Times, Dennis. With Donald J. Trump on the clock to secure $500 million bond in his civil fraud case, a New York appeals court appears to have handed the former president a lifeline on Monday, accepting a far smaller bond of $175 million. The ruling by a 5-judge panel of appellate court judges was a crucial and unexpected victory for the former president, potentially staving off a looming financial disaster. Had the court denied his request and had he failed to obtain the full bond, Mr. Trump risked of losing control over his bank accounts and eventually even some of his marquee properties. For now, those dire outcomes might be on hold. If Mr. Trump obtains the smaller bond, it would prevent the New York Attorney General's office, which brought the fraud case against him, from collecting the $454 million judgment imposed by a trial judge while Mr. Trump appeals. The appeal could take months or longer to resolve. Hmm. So a victory, if you want to call it that, for Trump. Yeah. Instead of chopping off both his arms, they're only going to take one, Den. So that's that. In terms of chopping off body parts, we now have to say goodbye to Facebook, YouTube, Apple Podcasts. We have to say goodbye. We now bring it over to Team DML. And the reason being is because we have 6 amazing stories, most of it coming with video, that cannot be shown on these platforms because they're just as radical as Letitia James and all of her ilk. And these are stories that, it's not like crazy stories. These are just stories that are crazy in the mind, and yet you can't talk about them. So if you want to become part of Team DML, if you want to support us and you want to stay with us and you want to help keep us in business, if you want ad-free news, if you want to be part of a environment where everybody knows your name, okay, teamdml.com, if you're on desktop, laptop, even on your cell phone. But if you want to download the DML news app for free from the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. Go to tab 5 where it says Interact, Team DML Memberships. Click it. You can see for as little as $2.50 a month, you could become a member. We have bigger memberships than that that give you more advantages, especially when it comes to DML CBD and some other things as well. So go give a look at it. We'd appreciate it. You'd be helping our family. You'd be helping our business at a time right now when Democrats and Google and all these other different places are trying to do everything they can to eliminate us. In fact, Facebook just screwed me out of $19,000. I'll be telling that story another week or so. I don't know if I'm allowed to give the details yet. I got to talk to my lawyer about it. They just screwed me out of $19,000, Dennis. And you know what they did? They sent it to the state of New York just after I had gone back and forth with them on 6 months of this. So you know what? They're all scum. We're going to talk about, well, I'm not even going to say what we're going to talk about here. I already said about in the beginning. We're just going to go. So let me say this in passing for those people who are not going to come along with us. Don't forget dmlcbd.com/BOGO. Only a couple days left. Today is the last day for the buy one, get one free on the mini and the 6.7 ounce body oil that you could only get from us. We thank you so much for being with us. And until the next time, stay well.
Get the Dennis Michael Lynch podcast every day by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And download the DML News app from the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store for breaking news, merchandise, films, exclusive content, and Team DML.